Hey, what's up?
Nothing much, how about yourself?
I'm up. That's about all I can report.
And Mike, how's it doing?
Well, hi, Tom.
Good.
How are you doing?
Great.
Still out there, we're nice.
Yeah, that's good. And you have that goes to how there's...
Protect us against the...
That's on the second floor, right outside the chamber.
I don't think it may be...
Okay, I'll come back with that, okay? Okay, we got a meeting. So is that okay? And then if there, he meets right away. Thanks.
Yeah, is Doc, does it all start?
I don't see him.
Well, I was just wondering, you know, in the room that it had on the Herman's office, I was just wondering if she could receive that citation that was sent up there. Do you know if she did or not?
Well, I sent it out to the couch service on Friday.
We're off to a slow start. Tom, you still, guys still gonna offer that one amendment that was part of the commissioner's letter?
Yeah.
Okay.
It would certainly improve the legislation. It would actually achieve what Senator Farrenkamp had in mind.
I'll let Dick know you're gonna do that so that, you know, we can conclude it today, hopefully, take a vote. I don't know who is out of town and for how long, but it's not good right now for a committee meeting. My boss is over here, I know that.
Well, we may have sent the judiciary, Mike's gonna be about 2 minutes late.
Okay. And I saw Drew. Is your Mike's 10 minutes late?
Yeah.
Hi, Ellen. Is your boss in town? I saw him yesterday.
Yeah, I didn't leave.
Like, this would be hard to see anybody.
I didn't see him over here, even if that's in my office.
Do you have a fire breaker coming in though?
Yeah.
Which one?
Four.
Is there a secret meeting somewhere?
No, 'cause all the guardians hit the street.
I need Representative Pierce. Okay, you can get on the reservation. Thanks.
It's a hobble.
One. There's about 10 representatives in there.
Jenkins, is that... I'll try him and I'll check the petty office.
How are you? You're here for water rights adjudication?
Yes, ma'am.
Any major points?
One,
Chris. Where's your boss?
You tell him, you better get in here. That's right, we don't want to... We don't want to cancel our meetings.
Not yet, but she's been allowed. I got it. I already called her.
Mike Miller's gonna be laying sons in the judiciary.
So we don't have anyone here.
Well...
I know,
Right.
You know, senior items, you know, legislative items.
We'll go for Saturday. DNR's gonna propose one amendment to this bill. I've looked at it. It definitely makes sense.
We should do everything we can to get this out today.
Yeah.
Thanks.
Hello, Drew.
Hello.
How was your powwow?
You know, scattered the place. We're in my...
How was your meeting over the weekend?
My meeting over the weekend?
Did you guys have a meeting Saturday?
Oh, yeah, we did. It was okay. Nothing exciting, you got a haircut.
Yes, I did.
Wow, you look shorn.
Yeah.
It was okay, nothing worth sharing, but... I'm good at tuna. I guess you don't like the only tuna up there. No, it's Thompson.
Nothing happened though. Would constitute a brief daughter or anything?
No.
Was kind of a general consensus of things that we've kind of visited about earlier?
Yeah.
Seems to be like at least there's that kind of a commitment there?
Mm-hmm.
In general? That's good. To hear.
Yeah.
It was a, let's get packed and go home atmosphere. Wasn't it?
Well, I went to Senate Finance last night.
I was there most in and out Saturday afternoon, but I didn't go yesterday.
After watching that operation, it is time to go home. Let me tell you.
Yeah, they added 9 million back in.
What?
They added 9 million back in yesterday.
Yeah, they aren't even halfway done.
They're going to be above our budget, just right. When are we going to do 75? When are we going to do HJR 75? September. When's it going to be ready?
We're waiting for the Senate, that's what we're waiting for.
Oh, okay.
If we have time today, we're going to try to bring up and include the same language as the Senate has when they come over, so I can waive it from committee. Hopefully.
Others have been promised.
Two more.
Here's one.
Oh, my.
One, two,
three. We got a dozen of them.
I want one.
Boy, this is, you're supposed to be friendly and nice and
cheerful. I am, I'm so cheerful.
Call the Resource Committee meeting to order. Today is May the 5th. It's 8:36. In attendance, we have Representative Cato, Representative Jenkins, Representative Pierce, Representative Sun, myself, Dick Schultz. The bill that we're going to bring before us today is committee substitute for Senate Bill 150. And we probably have a sign-up sheet out there. I do believe that we have some people that want to testify today. Tom Hawkins is here, and I'd like to ask Tom to come up and testify on the legislation. Also, Representative Herman is here. Go ahead.
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, my name is Tom Hawkins. I'm the director of the Division of Land and Water Management. The legislation before you, Senate Bill 150, is the product of a number of years of effort, beginning back in the early 1980s. Not passed then, reconsidered, restudied. Hearings started during the last legislative session, and the product before you is basically a state-of-the-art adjudication process, both administrative and judicial, for Federal Reserve water rights. In addition, a number of sections of the bill are housekeeping amendments that address problems that have come up over the years with Alaska's water use statutes. We think this is crucial water legislation for Alaska because it establishes procedures to adjudicate Federal Reserve water rights. Currently, the Alaska Water Use Act does not have a procedure for basin-wide adjudication of state-administered water rights or claimed Federal Reserve water rights. To that end, beginning in 1980, the Attorney General's Office has drafted legislation to establish a basin-wide adjudication system. Although the bill has been heard a number of times, it got its first committee attention during the last session in the Senate, and considerable attention paid to it during the interim. In addition, we've shared copies of the legislation with a number of sister states that belong to the Western States Water Council. And we received comments from Idaho, Wyoming, and a number of other states where water rights or where the experience with the adjudication of Federal Reserve water rights has been going on for considerably longer than it has in Alaska. In addition, we have presented the legislation to the Alaska Water Use Council. We've shared it with a number of agencies, both state and federal. And before you is a process which we think is not only the most modern of the mechanisms for addressing Federal Reserve water rights, but also allows the state of Alaska to go about this difficult process in the most efficient manner. As is known to members of the committee, more than 50% of Alaska's land are in federal units, be they parks, refuges, military withdrawals. And as such, the doctrine of Federal Reserve water rights, the idea first enunciated in the court in 1908, that sufficient water to meet the purposes of the reservation is withdrawn by implication when that reservation is created. In other words, the Congress or the executive, in the case of military withdrawals, sets aside land. Implied with that land set aside is that sufficient water will be available for the purposes of that reservation. Now, that's the doctrine of Federal Reserve water rights. In practice, although they're implied that those water rights are there, the priority date of those water rights in terms of competing with other demands on those same water resources and the volume or the quantity of those water rights is not set aside by the legislation. Consequently, it falls to the state as the authority which appropriates water in Alaska to adjudicate those undefined Federal Reserve water rights and establish priority dates and quantities. In many places in Alaska, the demand for making these decisions is not present and may not be present for some time. In other parts of Alaska, in other places in Alaska where a number of users have water appropriations, we're reaching a situation where a definition of what those Federal Reserve water rights are is very important for Alaska's economic development. Two places, most current, where we have addressed the situation and have floundered looking for a basin-wide adjudication mechanism. The first is Indian River near Sitka, where there is a federal reservation, both a national park, a historic cemetery, and a national forest. There's also a municipal water supply, a portion of the city's water comes therefrom. And there is a hatchery operated by the school, by the college. And recent attempts to increase the appropriation of water for the hatchery have floundered because the Federal Reserve water rights of the cemetery reserve and the forest have not been quantified or given a priority date. The second place where a basin-wide adjudication mechanism, an administrative adjudication process for addressing this would be most useful is in the case of the Kenai Fjords and the Bradley Lake project. As luck would have it, water important both to the National Park and to the Bradley Lake Project, derives from the Nuka Glacier. And depending on the advance or the decline of the glacier, the water flows south through the park or north through the power project. Now, as the glacier has been receding in the past years, or the past 10 years, the amount of water flowing south through the Kenai Fjords Park has been minimal. The Alaska Power Authority and its Bradley Lake efforts would like to guarantee that those flows continue going north towards the Bradley Lake Project. In order to do that, they need to build a diversion dam. The National Park Service wants to be guaranteed a certain flow of water so that the upper reaches of the Nuka River can contain the amount of water imagined and reserved to it when that park was created. Once again, we need an adjudication, a basin-wide adjudication mechanism. And in the case when a federal agency is unwilling to administratively deal, the McCarran Amendment, passed many years ago by Congress, permits the commissioner to address the federal water right in state court. We're not allowed to go to state court. The adjudication would occur in federal court unless the legislature provides for that mechanism, and so a section of this bill so does. Our experience to date, Commissioner Wanneke, a couple of years ago, said it was time to start talking with federal agencies about Federal Reserve water rights in Alaska, and we formed what we call the Federal Reserve Water Rights Working Group, with membership from Department of Fish and Game, other state agencies, and a host of federal agencies, including the Corps of Engineers on behalf of the military, the Forest Service, the National Park Service, and have been sitting down, inventorying, establishing where reserves exist, trying to decide which ones would be most important if an adjudication process did exist, and the like. We've made good progress on that front. In fact, we've gone quite far administratively in the Indian River situation. But the commissioner doesn't have the authority to conclude that process without a basin-wide adjudicatory mechanism as is designed in this legislation. Section 1 of the bill is a housekeeping amendment, which adds a disclaimer to the Water Use Act that a right to appropriate water, which the state grants, is not a guarantee of a particular water quality, volume, or pressure, and that the water may be withdrawn, or that the water may be withdrawn at a particular cost. In other words, we can grant the water right, but because of the fact that we have very little hydrological data in a number of the basins in Alaska, we're not always able to guarantee that that volume will exist. Section 2 and 3 of the proposed bill deal with applications pending before the commissioner when this legislation is adopted, and clarifies the existing abandonment and forfeiture provisions. Primarily what it does is it creates a rebuttable presumption so that an appropriator who does not beneficially use water granted by a certificate for 5 successive years bears the obligation, when noticed by the commissioner, to prove that the appropriation has not been abandoned. In other words, it's a mechanism which allows the undoing of water rights which are not utilized. Section 4 of the bill clarifies how...
Do you want us to ask questions as we go through the bill?
Representative Thompson, Miller, and Wallace are also in attendance. Go ahead, Representative Thompson.
I could hold them, but I can ask
them
as we go through. How does this work let's just take some of our old cannery properties or some of the old industrial properties around here that had water rights or have water rights that are pretty essential to that property, but the cannery, let's just say, has not been utilized in many, many years. And some of these outfits have, let's say, half a million, million gallon of water a day. Does this say that if you don't put another cannery in there for 5 years, that the water right can be just abandoned or revoked? You can walk in and take it away? Is that the effect of this? That seems to be a substantial depreciation of value of the property.
In the first place, it's a mechanism that's used when there's competition. In the instance that you've described, if another cannery decides to be built adjacent to this one, files an appropriation for water, what it does is it says if cannery 1 or cannery A has not utilized its water right appropriated to it, the commissioner can go to that cannery A and say, you haven't utilized your water right for 5 years. Have you abandoned it? Do you have plans to utilize it so that you can provide water to cannery B? In other words, it's it puts on cannery B, or it puts on cannery A, the requirement to show that they're putting the water to beneficial use, which is the basis of the water appropriation doctrine. Water is yours to use, and is yours as long as you're using it. But when there's competition for water, and you're not using it and merely holding it, then the purpose of this is to straighten out how the commissioner may address the person so holding the water right.
I'll think about it for a while, Mr. Chairman. Thanks.
Section 4 of the bill, or perhaps I've got my number wrong here, Section 5 of the bill clarifies how the commissioner would terminate an in-stream flow reservation. Section 6 of the bill contains the body of the proposed basin-wide adjudication provisions. It would allow the Commissioner of Natural Resources to initiate an administrative adjudication to quantify and determine the priority of all water rights and claims, including the Federal Reserve water rights when the federal government consents in a particular hydrologic basin. The section provides that when the Federal Reserve water right may be involved and the claimant refuses to consent to an administrative adjudication, the commissioner would initiate the adjudication in Superior Court consistent with the McCarran Amendment. In that instance, the proposed bill gives a Superior Court authority to appoint a master to perform the same functions a master would have in the administrative adjudication, but under the court's supervision.
My mind's still back in the other section. Water uses, does that go back into non-human uses, like necessary water for anadromous fish streams?
That's one of the things that water may be appropriated for in the Alaska Water Use Law.
If there's an appropriation, a prior appropriation of water, which would somebody may call it a mistake, somebody may not in the past, but there's a water appropriation on a system that takes X amount of water out, but there's now a finding by Fish and Game or whatever that they need more water in the stream to keep up the fish production, and they don't have it unless they go in and they could file for rebut or revoke the appropriation in this situation in order to get water back in the stream.
Well, let's say there's X amount of water in the stream, and X minus 1 has been appropriated to, say, industrial use.
Right.
And it's being utilized for that industrial use. And the Department of Fish and Game comes in to appropriate water in stream for fish uses. As long as the industrial use In other words...
As long as it continues.
As long as the industrial use continues, the Department of Fish and Game would have to purchase that water right. You can't take a water right away as long as it's being beneficially used unless it's for a public water supply system.
Okay, so the minute that industrial use stops for a period of 5 years, then there's a rebuttable presumption that it's been abandoned. So then Fish and Game or whoever could come back in and say...
Then it's up to the industrial user to say...
We've got it, now you try to take it back.
Fish and Game would also have to do a positive action. In other words, they would have to establish what the basic minimum flows for fish purposes
right.
were. And the commissioner would then grant an in-stream flow reservation. And the one section back that created the ability for in-stream flow reservations to be reduced merely asked the commissioner to take a look at in-stream flow reservations on a decade-by-decade basis to make sure that, you know, the situation was the same there as it had been in the past. You know, it could be they need more water, it could be the fish, they need less water for them.
Okay, thank you.
Tom, what'd you say about in-stream flow was reduced? Is that what you said?
There's a section of the bill that allows a commissioner on a 10-year basis to take a look at in-stream flow reservations. In-stream flow reservations, which are no longer needed or are too large, can be reduced at that time. In other words, there's a feeling that this is it's a dynamic situation. In other words, you know, what might be the truth in 1986 may not be the situation in 1996. There may be a demand for more water. There may be a demand for less water. And what this does is call on the commissioner to regularly review in-stream flow reservations. It could be that it would lead to reduction if the science at the time said that too much water had been reserved. The design of the adjudication bill is to provide a procedure for the adjudication of both state-issued water rights and claimed federal reserved water rights. AS 4615-169 makes clear that nothing in the Alaska Water Use Act is to be construed as an admission against the state of Alaska that a federal reserve water right exists in any particular context. Section 7 of the bill adds provisions to clarify the Department of Natural Resources' authority to take action to remove unsafe or unpermitted works of appropriation, such as dams or diversions, where the appropriator refuses to do so, and to inspect records of an appropriator pertinent to water use under the Act. To the committee, we've submitted copies of the testimony given to the Senate Resources Committee, resolutions and letters from the Alaska Water Resources Board concerning the bill, some reading on Federal Reserve water rights, and some fact sheets on water rights and Federal Reserve water rights. In summary, the state system of allocating water rights is based on prior appropriation. But currently, there's no way that dealing with Federal Reserve water rights can be avoided. Adjudication of water rights in areas where Federal Reserve water rights exist or are claimed by the federal government becomes difficult and sometimes impossible due to the uncertainty of not knowing how much water will be available for other appropriators once the Federal Reserve water rights are adjudicated. It's clear we're either to adjudicate administratively through state courts or in federal court. And as we see them, the adjudication is most efficient and least expensive under the procedures provided by the enactment of the bill before you.
Do you want to Sun.
I guess I'd ask the questions, and how does this deal with the Red Dog mine situation? In the sense that there's a lot of federal land up there and their water rights situations. Do they have a water right permit?
They have a permit. They don't have an appropriation yet because they haven't put it to beneficial use. The federal, the Kobuk, the parks adjacent to it have not had their Federal Reserve water rights adjudicated.
So is this something that's necessary? Because it seems to me that if your statement was correct in the past, that there is an implied water right appropriation when you create the park for an adequate amount of water to supply the park. And the Borax situation would be the same thing. How do you make a determination that there's excess water to that, or who does that?
Well, it's primarily done by our Division of Geological and Geophysical Science, but it could be done by any water expert chosen by the adjudicatory or the administrative water master. And primarily, the first debate is over the basin. Everyone agrees on where all the water comes from, the hydrologic basin. And the rest of it is a basis of understanding the groundwater, understanding the surface water, stream gauges, and trying to calculate the maximum and minimum flows so that you can say with some degree of assurance how much water is there on an average basis, and then determining what portions of that are needed for various beneficial uses, whether they be for the purposes of the federal reservation or the purposes of the industrial project.
Representative Jenkins.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Hawkins, reading from, there's a date, December 18th, 1980, anything to you?
December 18th, 1980. It's a familiar date. I believe it was either that or the midnight before was the passage of Anilka.
Right.
I always lose it on the 17th or the 18th. But
okay.
Seems like Christmas time is a time when these sort of things do pop up.
Great. I have had occasion to be concerned about the initial date of a water use permit in the national park, at least more than one. And I'm reading from the Introduction to Reserve Water Rights by the National Resources Law Center. And they say the priority date for the National Park Service Act of 1916 says the priority date for the reserve rights for those broader uses is the date that the land was made into a park in terms of national parks having a water right. The concern has never been in the case of the water rights that I'm knowledgeable about the real amount, but it is a question. There aren't any other uses, but I am concerned if that water right lapses, because it's quite clear that the National Park Service is using the tact that if you don't have a water right as of December 18th, 1980, it's going to be very difficult for you to get one for whatever purpose within those federal reserves. And I'm looking at your proposed amendment, and I have no qualms with the proposed amendment. I wonder, however, if we, if a person has a permit to develop a use of water, he may file a point of water use prior to the permit expiration, may file a request for permit extension. I wonder how that would affect what the difference between this is and the proposed language in the law. Would that water right automatically be challengeable if indeed there wasn't a request for extension asked prior to the date of the water right expiration?
Mr. Chairman, Representative Jenkins, the amendment addresses what, let's see, for shorthand, perhaps would be civilian water appropriators and water permittees. The Federal Reserve water right, which is implied by the creation of a Federal Reserve, is it is a water right. It won't go through a permit stage. And although you're correct in pointing out that the vesting date of that Federal Reserve water right is a matter of some dispute, and it's a matter of some dispute because prior to Anilka, there were monuments on the emergency monument order. And prior to the monuments, there were a number of withdrawals in anticipation of creating parks and refuges. And so which of those dates would be advanced by the federal government as a vesting date for their Federal Reserve water right is a matter that, you know, in some instances may be of importance. But to the concern that if you come after whichever vesting date they choose, the way the courts have dealt with the federal government or the Federal Reserve water rights in the western states, and certainly how we hope that they would deal with us in Alaska, is that the minimum flows necessary are reserved to the federal reservation for the purposes. And the difference between the minimum and maximum flows leaves considerable opportunity for those folks after that Federal Reserve water right vesting date to have use of that water, whether they be within the reservation or perhaps downstream from the reservation. So, you know, that's an interesting question because the, well, I guess in the Indian River situation, the historical cemetery and the national forest were both created sort of in the dim, distant past of time. And all of the other competing uses on that particular river are latecomers, if you will, although they have their water rights appropriated to them. And the Federal Reserve water right hasn't been quantified or acknowledged. In the case of Bradley Lake, it's interesting because of the federal power withdrawals and the activities of the Federal Energy Regulatory Commission, exactly which date is crucial. I mean, exactly which date could well be crucial because of the kind of attention that's been paid there by the federal government over a number of years. I believe in the Bradley Lake situation, however, the Park Service and the Power Authority have been meeting rather amicably, trying to wrestle out the situation of the Galloping Glacier.
Mr. Chairman, if I could, just on that point, I would hope that that water appropriation right in Bradley has been absolutely solved. We're about ready to spend $400 million building a dam there, and it'd be a real fiasco if somehow the glacier decides to advance and we lose the water appropriation permit for the dam. Now, that would be the ultimate irony of this whole issue. I mean, do we have a water appropriation permit for Bradley Power Project or not?
There is a permit application. It's part of the entire Bradley project. And it is, or your concerns are covered. But as these activities occur in Alaska, we come to grips with the importance of wrestling out and having processes for solving this sort of situation. In the case of Bradley Lake and this interesting glacier situation, it's a kind of an odd twist of fate. If you were to look at Nuka, the Nuka River is actually about the upper 1,500 feet of it. It's been dry for a decade. But you know, some minimum flow is necessary there, and putting a finger on that minimum flow is what the Park Service and the Power Authority have been working on.
Have any of the federal agencies come before and testified on this bill at all as it's worked its way through on the other side? Any federal agency at all?
Mr. Chairman, Ann Puffer of the Forest Service, who is the spokesperson for the federal players in the water, the Federal Reserve Water Right Working Group, testified in favor of the bill in Senate Resources, and I believe that her testimony was appended to the bundle that we presented to the committee.
Yeah, it's in the packet. Are there any additional questions from Mr. Harvey? Go ahead, Ann.
Tom, could you, there's a little bit of information in here on native allotments. Could you expand or tell me, like, who would assert or whatever the water rights on native allotments would be? The lot key or the SEIA or what would that?
Mr. Chairman, Representative Herman, it's not established conclusively. However, we believe that native allotments have Federal Reserve water rights because of their trust status. Because of that, the assertion of a Federal Reserve water right would most probably flow from the Bureau of Indian Affairs operating as the entity with trust responsibility for the land itself. We've testified that we haven't had one yet. We don't know exactly the level of literacy that the Bureau of Indian Affairs has in terms of the minimum flows necessary to maintain the purposes of the allotment, and they haven't been advanced in our process, although a number of individual allottees have come in and applied for and received water rights for wells water takes on their property through, you know, the regular Alaska Water Use Act adjudication. Flavors of federal reservation in Alaska, we imagine that this is one that will by and by be defined and addressed. And I think the character of the testimony and discussion on it before was members of the committee asking how zealous the Bureau of Indian Affairs was on behalf of the allottees. And the response of the state was, if we're to do an adjudication in a basin where there are native allotments, both the allottee and the BIA on his behalf or her behalf would be notified that adjudication was proceeding. In terms of being able to characterize the enthusiasm for the Bureau of Indian Affairs, it's been difficult for us to exactly pin it down, although they've been invited to participate in the working group.
Are there additional questions? Are you hearing none? Thank you. I have no one else to testify. Written down here. Is there anyone specifically?
Chairman, I have a substantial amount of questions and issues on this, the presumptive abandonment of water appropriations after 5 years, but I really wanted to read through the background material here before I question Tom anymore. It seems to me that I don't know if it raises any problems, but it certainly raises a lot of issues in terms of properties that we have around the state.
It's an exciting one.
Where's this bill going next? goes to judiciary, doesn't it?
I have no idea where that would go.
I believe it goes to judiciary. Yeah.
Is that right, staff?
Check it, yeah, check it for, we'll check it. I think it does better. Positive.
That'll probably give me a lot of time to read the background material on its way next door here.
Yeah, goes to judiciary.
Yeah. Yeah, since the bill does go to judiciary, and since we are anticipating a number of bills coming over this week from the Senate that into the Resource Committee, in light of that, unless people have just got some problem that they don't think the Judiciary Committee can handle.
Mr. Chairman, what about the amendment that's proposed?
Well, Tom never, Tom, you want to come back up here? What about the amendment that you have?
Mr. Chairman, may I defer to Mike Bediner, who helped draft the amendment and dealt with the players that...
Where is the amendment?
Esther's letter of the 28th.
Mike Bediner, Department of Natural Resources.
28th, okay.
The amendment which came over at the end of last week would provide what you think is some clarifying language to an amendment done on the Senate floor as the bill passed. Excuse me. In essence, attempted to, or was aimed at providing a permittee, a water user who's attempting to perfect a system, additional time, make some guarantees that that person can, in fact, contact the department and say, you know, for whatever reasons, there's a need to have a continuance on the permit. And as the language went into the bill, there was a concern later that we saw that there might be, it could be construed, that language might provide an opportunity in an abandonment situation or a forfeiture situation, that a deliberate, say, forfeiture or abandonment situation could occur, and volume of water could be tied up, not put to beneficial use, and a provision written in where basically that use of that water could be precluded from any subsequent user who may have a bona fide beneficial use to put that water to. What we've done with this amendment is hopefully clarified that it would apply to permittees, water permit holders, and not water appropriators who have a certificate in hand, say. That would be the distinction, if I'm being clear.
Well, I guess this goes right into the two sections, 3 and 4, that I've been concerned with here. I'll just give you the hypothetical, Jim. It's not really hypothetical, but let's just take one of these old sites out here which somebody has, and there's a 1 million gallon a day water permit too, and you want to develop it. That permit's been on the property for 50 years or longer, and you may not be using all that water now, and you may not be able to use it in the future, but if you have a 10 or 15 year development plan, what this says is that if you don't get your whole development in 5 years and use that up, you have a rebuttable presumption that you've abandoned the remainder, even though you may be in good faith effort moving forward to it. And that's kind of the concern I've raised, and I happen to reflect on it because it's the exact situation that I'm personally involved in terms of with the waterfall cannery site had a 1 million gallon a day water permit for running the cannery, which we still have, I assume. We're in the process of developing the property, but one of the things is we may have to put a fire sprinkler suppression system in order to utilize the buildings. Well, you wouldn't, you know, we haven't put it in yet, but I don't know how much water that you would tag on that to use. But if you're not using the whole amount or in 5 years on a continuous basis, do you presumably abandon that after 5 years? I, That's what I just wanted to think about. And it seems to me that somebody else thought about that same issue here and stuck some language in.
Mr. Chairman, if I just...
But you keep, you and Tom referred to competition, right? Maybe there's some way to put it in that it's presumed that you have a 5 years after somebody's put a competitive request in or something in that order.
Did you read page two, Representative Sun, on the lines 13 through?
Yeah, I'm...
Yeah, okay.
Mr. Chairman.
Go ahead.
On lines, it starts halfway on line 14, two through line 18, and that's where the amendment would go. In reading this through the chair, Representative Sun, would that amendment hurt or have anything to do with the first sentence under B? Or would it merely clarify the underlying language?
Well, I believe the lines 14 through 18, Mr. Chairman, are probably added on the Senate floor.
This amendment deals with that. It doesn't deal with the 5 years. It just deals with from 14 to 18.
That's correct.
And it's certainly a lot clearer language than what's
in the bill. Oh, I don't have any objection to the amendment. It just raised the whole issue that I was trying to think about.
Yeah, but I was wondering if it had any effect on the previous sentence. I don't see that it does, but...
I don't know.
Mr. Chairman, I would move the amendment.
Okay, there is a motion before us to move the amendment. Are there objections to that?
Mr. Chairman, I object. I need to ask Mr. Bediener the same question that I attempted to ask of Tom Hawkins earlier. Okay. Basically, do you have any reflections, Mike, on how it might affect a water right which hasn't been totally appropriated in a national park situation? And if indeed the water right were to lapse, regardless of the circumstances, and at that point would National Park Service have recourse to totally revoke the water right, regardless of the fact supposedly water rights are state uses?
Mr. Chairman, Representative Jenkins, I think the Park Service in and of themselves in that situation wouldn't be able to categorically state that it's water necessary to the park under the terms of the enabling legislation, and therefore that use has got to, that other beneficial use has to end. But in finally adjudicating where the competition is such that there appears to be more demand on the water than is available under the terms of this bill, and we do a basin-wide adjudication, we would have to put, and we would have to determine the volumes necessary to the available users, and once you stack those up in line of priority dates. So,
okay.
You know, that is
kind of my objection.
Representative Pierce.
Yeah, I just have a question. The Senate on the floor added may file a notice of intention to retain that water right. I assume that the presumption then was that if the commissioner received a notice of intention to retain, that would then be approved or left alone or whatever, that they would get to retain the right. And your proposed amendment changes that to may file a request for permit extension, which means, I assume, that then the commissioner could deny that request. What sort of a time frame is there? Is there somewhere in regs a time frame that this request for permit extension would have to be approved or disapproved within X number of days, months, or years, or what would happen?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Through the request, the department in regs. It's 2 years now. Yeah, in regs now in regulation now, the department would grant an extension for up to 2 years, perhaps.
Or it depends on the type of use.
Depending on the type of use and the nature of the request, but the ability. It's spoken to. The initial permit period is a 2 year period, and what this would allow is that very explicit language, the permittee can come to the department and make that request. Normally, it's going to be tied to the development, and there should not be any problem with granting the request.
Well, if I could follow up, I guess that's my question. What sort of new, is it a total resubmittal? Request for permit extension, is that going to require a total updating of whatever the original permitting was like and a total resubmission? Or is this something that pretty much gets rubber stamped by sending a letter of some sort or some kind of easier request?
Mr. Chairman, it's my understanding that on a typical request, it's not as if you're processing a new permit, but if I might defer to one of our...
It is just a reissuing of the same length of time.
So...
The 2 years would be domestic, regular domestic use. Commercial use is 5 years with an extension for that. And mining use is 10 years.
So the extension is always the same length of time as the original. But even 10 years later, I wouldn't have to file a whole new permit.
No, just a request for extension.
Okay.
There is a motion before us to adopt amendment number one, or we'll call it amendment number one anyway. Are there any objections to that? Hearing none, that amendment has been adopted. Is there further discussion on the bill? Hearing no further discussion, what's the pleasure of the committee?
Can I just ask a quick question?
Sure.
Tom, can I...
Thank you.
On page 2, line 6, where it says, an appropriation so forfeited and undiversely paid and the water becomes unappropriated. That was taken out. What happens now? What? The bill.
Mr. Chairman, Representative Furman, I believe the same thing occurs.
Okay. And you know the like with my village corporation, you know, they were fighting for water rights as a canneries. Would that kind of open up things again? Like if it went back to the state, they'll say, hey, you know, we wanted this water too. Now it's just, you know, I mean, it's abandoned. So we'll go after it again. You think it'll open things up again, or?
Mr. Chairman, Representative Furman, you're referring to the POGVIC litigation. And POGVIC had no beneficial use in mind for the water that it was filing an appropriation for. What it was trying to do was cause the appropriator to pay for the water it was using. And it was advancing the theory that Village Corporation lands had a Federal Reserve water right. POGVIC did not prevail in that litigation. And as we, or as I earlier said, half of the answer, we believe that native allotments probably have a Federal Reserve water right. We do not believe that Village Corporation, Regional Corporation land do. However, it's not to say that at some point that particular issue will be litigated because the POGVIC case expired at a lower level of adjudication. It didn't go all the way to the Supreme Court. And so, whether it's, you know, you ask, would it be opened up again? If the cannery has abandoned the use of the water and POGVIC has a desire to make a beneficial use of it, yeah, then it would be reopened. Alternatively, Pogvik has no design on the water and merely wants to charge the people who might want to put it to beneficial use, then it's not really reopened. You know, their old case could be further prosecuted.
Representative Sun?
Well, it seems to me that Section 2 and 3 lean the other way, that if the cannery stops using the water after 5 years, there's a presumption of abandonment. And are you saying then the cannery still has, you know, if they've abandoned it for 5 or 10 years, somebody else comes in and wants to use, they have to show, the acquirer has to show a beneficial use to use the water, and the prior existing permit holder, who is now subject to a presumption of abandonment, merely has to sit there? Or does the abandoner have to come positively forward and show they have a higher or better use?
Mr. Chairman, your example is probably best. Perhaps this cannery that Representative Herman is referring to is in a redevelopment mode. They've abandoned it for a period, but they have a plan to reconstitute themselves and begin pressing fish once again into cans. The commissioner goes to them and says, out of this unnamed lake, you've got 100,000 gallons a day. You haven't used it for a decade. Do you have plans to use it? She needs to make them, through notice and adjudicatory and appealable decisions, go away before she can turn and appropriate that same water to the next applicant. So all it does is shift to them the opportunity to make the case of the we're getting ready to put in a sprinkler system or whatever our phase development plan might be.
Or if they want to put it in a subdivision.
Water is appropriated for a use, a change of use requires a reprocessing of the application.
Additional questions? Hearing none. Representative Herman?
Chairman, I move committee substitute for Senate Bill number 115, judiciary amended, amended in committee. Is that right?
With individual recommendations.
Yeah, with individual recommendations.
Okay, there is a motion to move the committee substitute for Senate Bill 150 from Resource Committee. Are there objections to that? Hearing none, the bill is moved from committee.
As I remember, water rights was a boring subject in law school, and it's still a boring subject.
I agree.
Anything on?
Well, Mr. Chairman, on House Truck Resolution 75 that we had up, we've worked out some language. Apparently, there's trying to be some efforts made on the Senate side. And from all those involved, now we're going to meet tomorrow.
We have meetings scheduled tomorrow.
If we could hold it over till tomorrow morning on bills previously heard.
We do not have a meeting scheduled. I'm just wondering if it would be necessary to meet to adopt that language. It wouldn't necessarily be necessary for us to meet because we can. Are you saying to make it conform with the Senate language?
Well, either if the Senate doesn't have some action, I'd like to move the bill under rules.
Oh. And, have you got some language now that you want to do that?
Not right at the moment in front of us right now, but okay. I just wonder if we're meeting tomorrow, we would have that opportunity. If we're not meeting tomorrow, then...
If you want to meet tomorrow specifically for that purpose, we can definitely do it.
Okay. Maybe a short meeting in the morning then.
Okay. Okay.
Okay.
Okay. So resources will meet at 8:30 tomorrow for a short meeting. HR 75 should be very short, I would think.
Yeah.
No meeting. HR 70 or yeah. Resources adjourned.
That's otherwise.